countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
So Jack, there's a lot of focus on farming, particularly in this part of the world, the south and the southeast. The EPA kind of highlighting that there's been an increase in pollution, if you want to go so far as calling it that, or certainly contamination of streams, rivers and lakes as a result directly of increased agricultural activity. From a department perspective, what's your, I suppose, analysis of that? Is it worrying and can it be rectified?
So I think there was an awful lot of pent-up demand with milk quotas in place. And when they went, even before they went, people made plans and have started to expand. And everybody knows we have an extra 500,000 cows. And a lot of them are in the south, southeast, southwest of the country. And because there's increased pressure, there's bound to be more losses. Like, agriculture is not a laboratory. There's always going to be leakage from it, and that's accepted. But from a department point of view, what's happening, and I think what farmers are doing is taking on best practice all the time. Like in the Moor Park open days there a couple of weeks ago, there was a huge focus on measuring grass. They said we could double nitrogen use efficiency from 24 up to 50%, for example, reduce the nitrogen surplus on every farm with actions like using clover, using better breeding, grassland management, grassland measurement and management. So we see there's great potential there. However, people need to take action now. It's not something for the future. Particularly in relate to, say, for example, slurry storage. Like, you'll see people maybe in a month or 2 months' time having to put out slurry because they don't have enough storage. And with the price of fertiliser at the minute, it's really waste. And it's a waste of a nutrient, but it's also causing losses to water. The department's view on it would be that farmers have done a lot and we need to keep improving, particularly to protect our social licence and to protect our export market, which is so valuable. Last year we exported about 14 billion worth of product. And while people think of Ireland abroad, they think of a really clean, green image. For example, Kerrygold butter in Germany is twice the price of German butter. Like, that's a premium market, and that's what we want to, that's really what, where we want to be and what we want to maintain.
Based on the actions that you see farmers taking in this part of the world, ASAP being one measure that some farmers are involved in, based on what you're seeing on farms in this area, do you see a reversal of those EPA figures happening in the near future?
I think if we got all farmers to buy in and change practice on the ground, you know, like, say, for example, investment. A lot of farmers now that have expanded, they've probably bought the cows, they've improved the parlour. For example, in TAMS, you know, the grant aid scheme, about 107 million, or a third of all the money, went on dairy efficiency measures. And now people need to invest in the silage pit, in the calf house, and in slurry storage. And we can definitely, there's a package of measures there that are out as part of the nitrates review. Like things like using low emission slurry spreading, putting clover in to reduce your chemical nitrogen. From January on, there'll be a 10% cut in the chemical fertiliser allowance. Better management of the slurry, putting it out at the time of year when you get grass growth. Yeah, we will. We definitely will. It's possible. This thing is within farmers' grasp. It's not something that's away in the future or that we can say we can't deal with it. If farmers do what the best farmers are doing, say, for example, the signpost programme there that Chagas are running at the moment on the 100 farms showing best practice, if all that comes into place, I suppose farmers do need, though, we should acknowledge where they've come from. Like, a lot of farmers have made a lot of good progress and good work has definitely been done. Like, it'd be really interesting to see if we hadn't taken the actions that we've taken over a number of years, where we would be now. You know, we're not in a bad starting place, but we need immediate action. And we also need, you mentioned the ASAP programme. So there are 20 free advisors are funded by government, so the Department of Housing and ourselves, and are working with Chagask, and 10 are funded from industry. And industry are doing a lot of good work, but there's great scope there for them to do more and invest to help farmers to change. Because I think a big thing for farmers is probably low-cost finance now, to invest in the slurry storage that's needed, to invest in the low-emission equipment that's needed, or to get in touch with contractors, and also to reward them for what they're doing. Because sometimes in the press or in the media, we read a lot of negative publicity about agriculture. And it's not recognised all the good that farmers are doing. And those that are doing their best should be rewarded for it. And industry have a major role to play here.
And what about the issue of reducing cattle numbers? Is there more that can be done to meet targets without necessarily having to go down that road, or is it inevitable?
Well, from a water quality point of view, the EPA produced a report earlier on this year, and it sets out the reduction in nitrogen needed in water to achieve good water quality. So we took that report and we talked to Chagask. We're always in consultation with Chagask, the EPA Department of Housing, and Chagask have modelled proposed measures. Things like putting clover in the sward to reduce chemical fertiliser, it'll let you save 100 kilos per hectare, or the equivalent of 3 bags of can per acre. Dairy breeding, grassland management, better use of slurry. We can achieve those targets. Like, the exact figures that are set out by the EPA can be achieved, but we need to start achieving them now. It's too late to say, next June, I'm going to make a change. Like, from now on, people should be planning already for next spring what they're going to do with their slurry, even on their silage ground, what they're going to do. Are they taking soil samples, for example? Like, yesterday or the day, like, sorry, during the week in the budget, it was announced another 15 million for a soil sampling programme. And that's going to give back to farmers data on phosphorus, potassium, lime, trace elements as well. We had 15,500 applicants for a previous programme. Farmers need to take action. Like, lime sales are up from where they were at about 1.1 million tonnes, I think, so far this year. If you get the lime right in your soil, your nitrogen will work up to 50% more effectively. And there are things like that that farmers can do immediately that will put money in a farmer's pocket and are also protecting the environment. And that's what we need to happen right now.
What about the Nitrates Action Plan? What are the key elements and key proposals in that that you'd like to see actually implemented to help on this journey?
I suppose there's been an awful lot of talk about slurry storage. And what you'll see at the minute, say there were requests during the week there, the open period ended on the 14th of October. Why are we closing it? So we're closing it because at the moment, daylight is getting shorter. The growing season is coming to an end. Like, it's in the journal this week that growth has dropped off. The days are colder. Like, when we go down below 5 degrees, grass growth stops. And yet people still have slurry in tanks to be spread. And you'd wonder why. What happened last spring that they didn't get it out? We didn't have a wet August. Cows, cattle didn't have to come in. Why aren't we making better use of slurry? So from the department inspections, what's shown is that 4 out of 10 dairy farmers don't have enough slurry storage on farms. We're proposing that they'll put in place more storage and that the period for spreading slurry will get shorter. So rather than spreading now in October, you'll stop spreading back in September. We're also saying that soiled water, which is the water from, say, parlour washings, for example, shouldn't be spread from the middle of November up until the middle of January. And people are saying, look, that's only water, there's nothing in it. But soiled water contains, according to Chagas research, 4 units of nitrogen per 1,000 gallons. And if you use that nitrogen properly, you'll get value from it. And spreading it in the middle of winter is the same as dumping it, because no matter what, even if we get a dry week, the growth is not the same in November as it's going to be next March. You know, we want to get the value out of it. There's a proposal there that all farmers stocked greater than 100 kilos per hectare would have to use low emission equipment. That's either a dribble bar, trailing shoe, or shallow injection. And the reason for that is that it's twofold. Agriculture is responsible for almost 100% of ammonia emissions. This is one of the key ways of reducing ammonia losses from agriculture. It also means that farmers will get the best value out of slurry, and they'll get back in to graze the land quicker rather than using a splash plate. Not every farmer needs to buy a trailing shoe or a dribble bar, because that's the first thing people say. There's a 6 to 10 month waiting list at the minute, and it's expensive equipment. A contractor, if you have a good contractor locally, they'll provide a good service. There's a proposal that the dairy cow will be banded. So every animal has a nitrogen excretion rate. And in Ireland, we've used a single figure since 94 when REPS came in. And the commission have said to us, look, are all the cows in Ireland the same size? Or how come you have a single figure when across Europe, different countries have higher rates, lower rates, you know, like a big car, a small car, whatever. So there's a proposal that at the lower rate, so for cows, say, producing less than 4,500 litres, it'd be 82 kilos. Between 4,500, 6,500, it'd be 92 kilos of nitrogen. And then over 6,500, it'll be 106 kilos. And that'll make a big difference to farmers, because the stocking rate limit, unless you have a derogation, is 170 kilos per hectare. On a derogation, it's 250. But rather than dividing now by 89, 12% of farmers will be dividing by 106. There's also a proposal, say, that crude protein in animals' diet should be looked at, because we know that if excess crude protein has gone into the animal, it's coming out. And mainly it's coming out in the urine. So any farmer that walks the land will see the urine patches, they're very green. And that's because there's the equivalent of 1,000 kilos per hectare of nitrogen in urine coming out. And these are all small measures that farmers can change. Now, the investment in slurry storage and in soiled water storage is going to cost money. There's a proposal there that you'd have to have 4 weeks soiled water storage by the end of 24, up from 10 or 15 days at the minute. We understand that there'll be a time lag in putting this storage in place because of construction, obviously. You know, the builders aren't out there and they're busy. And also for farmers to access finance to build. But change needs to happen. And it needs to happen quickly. So the best thing farmers could do at the start is make better use of their slurry. Look around the sheds now for the winter, make sure that all gutters are clean, you know, that no water, clean water is going to get into tanks. Make sure that all drains and shores are cleaned as much as possible. Take every practical action possible to minimise the amount of slurry that they have to store. And then when they're getting to the spring, they're thinking about their soil sample results, where they're going to put it, and they're making a plan for next year.
I know you're not a political commentator such, you're more on the technical side, but is Ireland's derogation, would it be under threat if a lot of these measures are not implemented?
Yeah, so the first thing we have to do is agree internally in Ireland that our action programme is going to work. It is in the programme for government that we're going to apply for nitrates derogation, so we are going to apply for it, and we will be in discussions with the Commission. But the first thing the Commission asks us is, what's happened in the past 4 years? So where has water quality gone? And unfortunately, it's been on a decline for the last number of years. And the EPA report that I talked about earlier says that in a rural catchment, 85% of nitrogen comes from agriculture. We're in the Slaney, or over the road here is the Slaney catchment. In the Slaney and the Barrow, 30% of the nitrogen in water comes from arable land. So there's a proposal there for tillage farmers that within a week of cutting, say, your wheat or barley, whether it's spring or winter, you'd have to either sow a crop or give a shallow cultivation to get a crop to grow. To get even weeds to grow will soak up nitrogen. But it should be clear for everybody, yeah, our derogation is definitely at risk. We're in the spotlight. But it's not something to be worried about, because there are actions there that farmers can take that'll bring us back on the right path, and very quickly as well. In certain soil types, it'll take longer. And we should all be aware as well, if agriculture stopped tomorrow, there'll still be losses from the land. But we need to accept that the losses that are coming from agriculture, a lot of them are within our control, and we need to take the actions that have been talked about to do the best we can to keep those small as possible.
So all is not lost. And what farmers want to know is, if they take action on their farms to reduce their carbon footprint and follow all the procedures and guidelines in that regard over the next 5 or 6 years, can they do that while maintaining the output and underpinning their livelihoods and incomes in that time as well? That's the bottom line.
I think a key thing here that's sometimes not mentioned is the consumer, and seeing what the consumer wants. And Bord B are excellent at marketing Irish produce abroad, and are using the Origin Green label. We need access, and we have access to premium markets, and that money then needs to come back to farmers. So whether we maintain output or not, what you want to see is that farmers' incomes are maintained and that they're viable. I was down at Moor Park there, and they said it's possible for farmers to achieve a profitability of €1,000 an acre if they increase the amount of grass they grow, but also use it. Not just grow it and make silage that's surplus and then sell it on Done Deal or some other way of selling it at €20 bale, which is below the cost of production. So, yeah, it's definitely possible. I think the key thing here with water quality, it is achievable. We can reverse the declining trend. First of all, we'll stop it, and then we'll start to improve it. And then that should be used in our marketing abroad, and hopefully a premium will come back to farmers. But it's really important that farmers take action now. So, for example, from the 1st of January next year, chemical nitrogen limits on grassland are going to be cut by 10%. So what plan are farmers making now? Like, if you read the paper or listen to Chagask advice, or we have a lot of good private advisors out there as well, what plan are you making on your farm today for grass for next year? You know, are you closing it off? Are you looking at your herd? Are you looking at your milk yield? Are you carrying the surplus cows there that aren't actually making any money? You know, in some places, the extra milk that's been produced, the last couple of cows, are probably more of a liability than a profit. And I suppose everybody knows their own business, but they need to take a really forensic look at it and start thinking that the environment, like, it's seen as a cost of production, but it's not something there that you can say, right, I'm going to do this to make money and the environment comes secondary. They're on a par, because if we can't turn around this, and I strongly believe that we can, well, production will be limited in the future and more rules and more regulations will come into being. One thing that should be said, people say that the goalposts are changing all the time with environmental regulation. So I suppose the biggest change in the goalposts was that we got 500,000 extra cows, and that has really skewed the field. We will constantly be striving to improve. Chagask invest, and the Department of Agriculture and the state give them 70 to 80 million a year to invest in research. And as that research comes online, more changes will come for farmers. So even if we make a regulation by the end of this year, within 2 to 3 years, there will be more requirements of farmers. But we can list them off. The majority of them are going to benefit farmers and benefit the environment and ensure that we have a viable and sustainable agriculture for the future.
What's the most common mistake as an inspector do you find farmers are continuing to make, which is a threat to pristine lakes, rivers and waterways?
I'd say 4 out of 10 farms don't, dairy farms don't have enough slurry storage. So you're starting off on the back foot. So if you're looking into the winter and you know already you don't have enough slurry storage, you're planning to spread it in November or December. You're not getting the value out of it. There are simple things there like looking around the yard yourself, or sometimes what people suggest from a health and safety point of view is that you bring in an outsider to go around the yard with you. Health and safety, a farmer said it to me previously, it's probably the first thing that should always be thought about on farm. The mental and physical well-being of farmers is so important. If that's not right, the environment can never be solved. I'd say start with the farmyard. Get somebody in maybe that hasn't been there before that's going to give you a realistic assessment. Not somebody from the department probably. Start with a friend or somebody else and just say what here could be improved. For a lot of people it'll be silage pits. So contractors will tell you now that the space in yards just isn't there for the size of machinery to come in and turn around. Do you need to get a bigger pit? Do you need to look at the channels around the silage pit? Have you enough slurry storage or not? What are you doing as regards soiled water? Where are you spreading it? You know, your facilities. Then look around the fields. For some farmers, for example, I'm talking a lot about intensive farmers, but every farmer has a role to play. So in the west of Ireland, we have issues around phosphorus. And phosphorus loss is caused by, can be caused by overland flow, whereby, say, if a farmer has a round feeder and they're poaching the land around it over the winter, the phosphorus attached to the sediment will just flow off to a drain or a watercourse. You know, so things like that we need to be careful about. The amount of nitrogen that we're using. Are we using it because we need it or because we don't have the lime right? Lime went up on the 1st of September down here. It was €24 a tonne. Now it's €26 a tonne. It's very, very cheap. 20, 30 years ago, Ireland was using 1.5 million tonnes of lime. We need to do more around soil health. So when I say lime, you know, we don't differentiate between calcium and magnesium. But farmers should start to look at it. What is the calcium-magnesium balance in their soil? Their trace elements, things like copper, boron. You know, we need to look at soil health. If you look at the difference between, say, a compacted soil and what it can produce as regards grass and a healthy soil, there needs to be a great focus there. And these are all things that people can take within their own hands. Grassland measurement is key. How many farmers know how much grass they're growing every year? Are they reseeding? Are they stitching in clover? All these are within your own grasp. The breeding on your farm, the EBI of your cows. For a beef farmer, the type of animal you're rearing or buying in, are you using concentrates wastefully? You know, are you getting more out of grass? Like, concentrates have gone up by about €30 a tonne in the past month. Grass is out there 3 times as cheap if you manage it properly. So there are opportunities there to save money whilst protecting the environment.
All right. And finally, you mentioned the big word there, money. And farmers will say that they will do all they can to obviously reduce the amount of inspections that they might be subjected to or the amount of penalties that they would be subjected to. And they'll do their best to try and comply with everything. But what about the cost involved in doing all of that? Is there enough money in the TAM schemes? And with a dwindling CAP budget, for example, do you think that the financial supports and grants are there to be able to allow those farmers, for example, the 4 in 10 that don't have adequate slurry storage facilities, to actually rectify that?
I suppose a lot of this is going to come back. The farmer is going to have to invest. Like, if a farmer is non-compliant with legal regulations, legal requirements like slurry storage, the department can't grant aid. That's a basic tenet in the EU regulation. Like, this is taxpayers' money that's been given.
It's a bit of a chicken and egg situation then, isn't it, somewhat?
Well, it is. I suppose farmers have expanded.
Yeah.
And they're making money from the cows. The cows are bringing back in the money. But the department, not just this department, across Europe, the polluter pays principle applies. The EU Court of Auditors published a report the other day that said the polluter pays principle isn't being applied properly even in member states. So if you have enough storage, the department can grant aid you to get more. So for example, farmers that have enough slurry storage and soiled water, the department and the proposal here is that they need 4 weeks soiled water storage, they'll need more. You can be paid for that when the bar is raised. Or for example, a tillage farmer, if you look at the price of slurry now, a tillage farmer will be granted to put in place a tank to take in slurry from a neighbouring farmer. There are other ways there, like things like low cost finance, but it is going to come back to the farmer. But if you look at the cost, like a third of farmers' costs, I think, are coming from things like meal and fertiliser. And if they start there and make savings there, like a lot of people now will be going to the accountant, maybe they have already, or they will be in the next couple of weeks. Look at what your major costs are on the farm. Like, fertiliser next year is going to be nearly double if it stays at current prices. How are you going to make savings on your farm? And what you do save then will have to go into the farmyard if you're not in a good place.
So is it a combination then of measures between the farmer, the advisor and the department all coming together, that there is a way of solution there.
Yeah, I think it's a whole of sector. Like I don't, you know, it's the industry have a huge role to play. By industry, say you're talking about the vets, the fertilizer salespeople that are going on to farms, the men and women who I meet in the co-op when I go down, what kind of advice I'm getting, the meal I'm being sold. At the minute, I think a lot of meat concentrates are sold on the basis of the level of crude protein rather than the feed value of it. Like, why are we doing things like that? Industry need to support farmers in making change. The consumer has a role to play. If I went into town today to buy milk, I'll buy milk at 1.30 for 2 litres, I think. If I want to buy almond juice or whatever it's called, it'll cost me a couple of euro. You know, it doesn't balance up. If we want farmers, and we do, to protect the environment, we haven't touched on biodiversity at all, the important role that's there that farmers play. We need to see more money coming back to farmers. But farmers, we should be clear, farmers are going to have to invest their own money. It would be ideal if the banks came out with low-cost finance. Like, if I went to remortgage my house and can show that I'm more energy efficient than you, I'll get a lower-cost loan. Why isn't that available to farmers? Or maybe banks are thinking about it already. There will be support from government, but it's a limited pot we're pulling from. And the country, we all know where we've been for the past 18 months. Anyone driving our roads, or the number of teachers that we have, the number of doctors and nurses, these are all competing pressures. So when the Department of Agriculture goes to talk to the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, they want to see, right, the investment we're making in agriculture, what's coming back out of it. And I know there's a huge multiplier effect from farmers. When farmers have money, they'll spend it. But if you look at this year, I think we're nearly at record levels of tractor sales. We're at record level of tractor imports since the Celtic Tiger. So, you know, there is money in agriculture this year. The price of sheep, beef, milk, tillage are all at record highs. People need to be really careful about what to do with that money, because inputs are heading up with it. But there is money there, and that money would be best invested in future-proofing your farm for the next 10, 15 years.
All right, and everybody's a winner in that regard if the right investments are made to underpin your livelihood, but also to protect the environment and meet binary targets that we all must meet in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Jack Nolan, thank you.
Thanks very much, Damien.